Last weekend, I was off for my bow hunting trip with a number of parishioners that are really expert at that, and I kind of tag along. And in case you're wondering, we're blessed. Three of us, including myself, were able to get deer on that expedition. But what I wanted to bring up about it was a special guest that we had with our hunting party during those days. You might recall I preached before about a hunting experience where there are all these sheep, you know, these shepherds that brought these sheep into the national forest. Well, the sheep were back, and except there was one shepherd this time. His name was Alex from Peru, and it was cool. I think he kind of knew the situation, and he directed the sheep in a different way so they weren't just kind of trampling right through our happy hunting grounds. And I bring him up because it was really awesome how my fellow parishioners, fellow hunters, really welcomed Alex into our camp for dinners, for lunch, you know, to be with us. He's from a whole other country. He's in the middle of a national forest, totally on his own, just him and two horses, a dog, and 800 sheep, you know. And so he's just living this very isolated existence. And my fellow hunters really felt a call, like, let's welcome this guy, you know, into our little community here, you know, and shared meals with him. And, you know, I do some of my Spanish to try to talk with him and some of the other guys and to try to make him feel welcomed. And then we'd give him some food as well. And I bring it up because there's that rich experience of not just welcoming Alex, but welcoming Christ, you know, through that special gift of Alex the shepherd. How important, my brothers and sisters, to have an active faith. That's what our second reading is about from the letter of St. James, where he says, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? Faith of itself, if it does not have works, is dead. For just as a body without a spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead." It's so important for us to take that seriously. We need to know, though, of course, first, faith is, first of all, a gift that God gives to us. His grace comes first, and we're blessed with our catechumens. They're already receiving that grace has brought them to this day, and our candidates who already have that gift of faith and baptism, that grace continues to form and lead them. And so, first of all, it starts with God's action and that great gift of faith that He gives. But then we must cooperate with that gift of faith, really receiving it deeply and nourishing it and protecting it through our reading of scriptures, through prayer, through the sacraments, all these ways that can help us have a faith that is nourished and then a faith that grows. It isn't just simply do I have faith or not have faith, but faith can grow in intensity and strength. Indeed, the apostles asked Jesus, "Lord, increase our faith." You know, that's something for us to ask of the Lord as well, and we can play our part in that by growing in our knowledge of the faith, the renewal of our minds in Christ, and also by that living relationship that we pursue with the Lord, that Jesus is alive and in my life, and in my life I want it to be really centered on Him, and in that our faith continues to grow. And then the last part of that, really responding to that gift of faith, is to have an active faith, which our second reading is all about. As St. James says, faith without works is dead. And he wasn't the only one who said this. St. Paul himself. Yes, St. Paul was opposed to works of the Jewish law that some were saying that Gentiles had to accomplish, like circumcision, before they could become Christians. And he rightly in the church rejected that. But St. Paul was very much with the reality that we as Christians, you know, should have good works. As he beautifully described it to the Galatians, it is faith working through love. Faith working through love. Or as he tells the Ephesians, for we are his, God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus for the good works that God has prepared in advance, that we should live, that we should walk in those good works. Of course, James and Paul were just echoing the teaching of the Master, of Jesus Christ himself. And noteworthy, you know, some parables that he has about what the kingdom will be like. What will it be like, you know, in its fullness? And there's this expectation of the people of the kingdom have these good works. He gives the parable of the master who entrusted talents to his servants while he was gone. And when he returns, he expects a multiplication of those, some kind of return on what he has personally entrusted to his servants. That's one way Jesus wants to understand that. Or also in Matthew 25, the king, when he comes with all his angels to judge, he'll reveal that in the poor, in the stranger, in the sick, in the imprisoned, he, the king, is either served or rejected. And so there is a great obligation as a part of God's plan, his own plan, that we must be fruitful in good works. Regrettably, I think people so often experience that maybe as an imposition. Okay, I got to do these things, you know, rather than the joy that is meant to be. It's kind of parallel to that reality of we talk about holy days of obligation. You know, there are these different special days of worship throughout the year. Days like All Saints on November 1st, or the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, August 15th, where the faithful are obliged to come to Mass. You know, those days are meant to be days of joy, where we meditate on like how God's grace really works in us to make us saints, and that we have these incredible brothers and sisters in Christ, the communion of the saints, and to rejoice in their friendship and intercession, and or on the assumption, the reality of Mary's assumed bodily to heaven, that her special grace points to the grace of bodily resurrection that God wants to give us. I mean, what incredible good news that is. It's meant to be a day of joy, of feasting, have a special meal, enjoy that day in a special way. But instead, so many people, it's like, oh, yeah, I got to get to Mass today. You know, really missing the heart of it, really missing the deep joy that is really meant to be there. Because there can be such a great joy in these good works of faith that we are called to. That certainly has been my experience over the years. I think that joy comes out of that reality that it is faith working through love. And if it's that, that means that it's Jesus himself that is working through me. And I come to know Jesus and his living presence more deeply in these moments of faith working through love. It's an experience of that deep down joy of the Holy Spirit that his presence gives us, and as his gifts are active and activated in us, there's a real joy that comes up from that. Or also that experience of the loving gaze of the Father who sees his children at work for his kingdom, and his children know who they belong to and what ultimately their life means and what it's about, and the great blessing of that divine purpose that can be there in my own life. Some people might maybe sincerely question their worthiness to do these good works of faith. You know, I've my past or what I've been like, I don't know if I really, you know, should get involved in these things. You know, you don't know what I've done, that kind of thing. But really, that can, in the end, I think, be a very kind of misplaced self-preoccupation. These good works are the good works that God has prepared in advance. He gives them to us to do. He dares to entrust those to us. Do we not dare to take them up? The reality is, in doing those good works of faith, that's the very place where we so often grow in the holiness that we wish we had. Maybe that's also where we build up the good that maybe earlier in our life we had been harming instead. And if you want to strengthen your faith, well, then we can do that by start acting through our faith and by serving through our faith. Do you maybe not know, well, what should I get involved in? What kind of good work should I be engaged in? I would recommend don't get caught up in kind of an analysis paralysis. I need to keep discerning. Where should I go? I'm thinking about it. Oh, you know, someday I'll figure it out. No, just jump in somewhere. Jump in somewhere doing something with that small act of faith to maybe work against whatever's holding you back, whether it's fear or maybe it's selfishness, or maybe it's confusion, or maybe it's my life is so busy because of my choices, I have no time for the kingdom. You know, to make a small act of faith over against that and just jump in somewhere. The truth is, if you stay open to God, He'll get you to where He wants you. You know, and that's the most important place to be. I remember a little while ago, back in January, my Companions of Christ priest group, we had a little flag football game, you know, one afternoon, and so we're all there, and then, you know, it comes down to like the old playground tradition of picking teams, right? You know, okay, you know, who's getting picked first? Who's getting picked last? You know, that kind of thing. And even though we're all adults, you know, you can just tell there's a certain energy, you know, when the picking begins. And I remember, so I got picked somewhere in the middle, you know, fair enough, but I did score a sweet touchdown, which I think vindicated my getting picked. But I bring that up, you know, that do I belong and how do I belong, to say that we are all picked for God's team. You're all chosen by God, chosen by Christ for His team. And to be a part of the richness and an abundance of that in His kingdom and the good works that come with that. Finally, I would say that while we can do good works anywhere, and there's all kinds of great causes out there, the parish, our parish, is a key place for faith working in love. There's something special about the parish, because it's where we can especially do good works that can consciously be good works of faith, where we can very, very openly proclaim Christ and have that fullness of what those good works are meant to be. And our parish is our place of Eucharistic communion. You know, we're all brought here by God's providence to this place to receive the Lord in the Eucharist. We're brought together in a special supernatural communion. It isn't just by happenstance, and this is then a privileged place for us to live out the fruits of the Eucharist in those good works in our parish community. Or as Pope Benedict once described, that the parish is a place where each believer can concretely experience what it means to be a member of the body of Christ. And that's what each of us is. We have a deeper belonging to each other than I think maybe we often realize or are ready to admit. You know, but there is this deep unity in the Eucharist that we are given that makes this a special place for us to do those good works of faith. There are many active and involved parishioners, you know, incredible people who very generously step forward to be involved in the different works of the kingdom and the different works here at our parish. And I'm so thankful for them and their just sustained commitment to the parish. But I know there are also many who are holding back, many who are not involved, who are not giving themselves over to those different, you know, good works of faith, those fruits of the kingdom. The reality is there are many, many kinds of opportunities. They're manifold at our parish. And the parish is, in that sense, a gift to give you a ready ground in which to answer the Lord's call, His demand, you know, to multiply your talents, to do these good works. There are things like catechesis, helping to teach people the faith or teach little kids the faith, you know? And I think some people, they're like, they think they need to have like a doctorate in theology to teach a third grader. You know, give me a break, you know? It's not that hard, you know? And we never put you alone, you know, trying to do that even. There's things like our helping the poor that we have with our food outreach ministries, the Julie Greeley Center, and which is such a great and vibrant work that is here. We have things like sponsors. I'm so thankful for that personal commitment and accompaniment that sponsors make to walk with people through this special time of formation. And I know they can attest to the richness that they in turn receive and the real joy that can be there in that. There's things like building up a vibrant parish community, like we have our parish breakfast this morning, and the different things that different groups do to make this a place where people are welcomed, where we can enjoy the reality of being together, the body of Christ. There's things like, well, even simple things like helping to make this a beautiful and safe place, that there is the refuge of this place for us to come together and worship. I think of the many people who just kind of stop by the church or the church grounds throughout the week because they are beautiful, because they are available, and how we can worship in security because of others who step forward to offer themselves for that. There are so many different ways that we can be involved, and the Lord calls us to that. I think in the end, what we need is just a more expansive vision of faith of who I care about. You know, charity, as it says, may start at home, but it doesn't end there. It doesn't end there. As Jesus once challenged people, that if you only love those who love you, or if you only greet your brothers, is that really nothing more than what tax collectors and pagans already do? What's distinctively Christian about that? No, the Christian has a deep vision about who matters and who they care about. You know, and I think that's so important for us to cultivate that and to cultivate that for our kids as well. You know, that our children are being raised so that they have the sense of that they can contribute to something greater than themselves. It's not just about seizing opportunities to help themselves get ahead, but their life is meant to be a gift for others and that they're meant to serve something greater, someone greater than themselves. My brothers and sisters, our parish is a genuine home because Jesus says, whoever does the will of my heavenly Father is my brother and sister and mother. We belong to Christ, and therefore that means we belong to each other. I welcome our catechumens and our candidates who are in this time. This is a time of deep investment to help you to grow in receiving then the sacraments we receive of initiation, of growing in what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be a Catholic. There's a beautiful formation and investment. But just know that this is then only the beginning. This then opens the door to you too, that being active, dynamic members of the kingdom, being the kingdom and the body of Christ right here in our parish. And I'm so excited for what that's going to mean in each of your lives and the blessing that will be for us. And that then holds true for all of us. As St. James urges, may we demonstrate our faith through works. As St. Paul teaches, we are part of the body of Christ. May we be a parish of faith working through love.